You are listening to Pastor Talk.
I don't know a single pastor who doesn't wish that everybody would just read the bulletin, you know?
Oh, well, I don't know a single communications director that doesn't wish that either. But no, announcements are kind of a necessary evil.
Welcome to Pastor Talk, the podcast of Lifeway Pastors, giving you the tools and encouragement you need to shepherd your flock well. I'm your host, Marty Durham.
My guest today on Pastor Talk is Kelly Adkins. Kelly is the Communications Director for Grace Church in Orlando, Florida. Kelly has a Master's in Communications degree from Wheaton College. She's married to Mike, who is the lead pastor at Grace Church. They have three kids, two cats, and they planted the church. I'm excited to have Kelly today talking about communications in the local church. I hope you enjoy this episode of Pastor Talk. Hello, everyone. Thanks again for listening to Pastor Talk. My guest today is Kelly Adkins from an undisclosed sunny poolside location in Orlando, Florida. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's awesome. Thanks for taking the time from your staycation to be on Pastor Talk today.
I'm excited for the opportunity.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. We don't have, in fact, you are the first communications professional. Barnabas Piper and Trevin Wax might get their feelings hurt when they hear that, but you actually...
Oh, I don't want to step on their toes.
You actually are the first communications professional that we have interviewed. So tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Kelly Adkins, and my husband and Mike and I planted Grace Church back in 2003 here in Orlando, Florida. We grew that church for about 7 or 8 years before embarking on sort of a multi-campus thing. So now we have 6 campuses. They each have their own teaching pastors. So it's that sort of a model. That's great. I have 3 kids. Clayton is 21, Connor is 14, and Katie Claire is 9.
So how did you get into communications? Was this a result of a lifelong ambition, or did you get to college and like, man, I can't do anthropology after all. Let's just talk.
Well, I did graduate with an English degree, and I thought, hey, you really can't do anything with this. So I went back and got my master's degree in communications, but had really no thought of being in church communications at all. It was not a plan of mine. I always secretly harbored desires to be a writer, but Dad just was faithful to give me lots of jobs along the way so that once we did plant our church, I was good to go. So, and plus I was, you know, all that we had. So,
sure.
So most of my communications work in the church has just been learning on the job.
Okay. Awesome.
14 years.
Well, God's allowed me over the years to be in various size churches, and in every single church, my experience has been there's a certain amount of frustration at the pastoral level with the amount of things that we feel like we are saying and the amount of information that we often feel like we are giving. And as soon as the final amen is said, some sweet saint comes up with a notebook and wants to write down, wants us to re-recite what we've just spent 5 minutes explaining from the pulpit. So we do want to talk a little bit about communication today, and most of our listeners are going to be small and medium church pastors. We're not talking to guys who have, you know, communications professionals on staff. If they do, it's generally not a person with a, you know, a degree in communications. So we want to talk about some stuff that I think will help any pastor, but that'll definitely help some small church pastors. So how and why should the pastor of a small or medium-sized church be thinking about communication?
Well, I think the first thing that would help a small church pastor to think about communication is that it's just an extension of your ministry, actually. I think of it as the church is a body, then communication is just kind of the outfit you're wearing and the way that you're presenting yourself. I also think that the best parts of communication are already what they do, which is, first of all, teaching. I think communication is teaching. It's not only showing people truth, but it's showing people what they should care about. I think communication is also care. It's one of the best ways that you can care for your people and make things easy and accessible for them to be a part of your church. I think that works in anything from signage to event descriptions to any other thing that you might do, a video or social media. It's about caring for and loving people. So if you can start to think about it as not a duty, but doing that, that's going to help a lot with the way that they think about communication.
With the advent of, you know, Facebook and YouTube, we can see what a lot of churches do, and, you know, periodically a 3-minute, you know, kind of blurb will come across. And I mean, it's so professionally done. You leave thinking, wow, that could be, you know, like Oscar nominated for a short film or something. And some churches just put it together during the week to show on Sunday as a, you know, promo for some event that they have coming up. But you seem to think that small churches can have some advantages over bigger churches in communications. Explain that a little bit.
I absolutely do. And the reason is especially in a social media world, social media is, even if you have a million followers, you know, some of the more famous people, you know, online, it's all about perceived intimacy. Mm-hmm. It's all about that you know this person. And people don't follow a brand, they follow a person. That's what I always hear in marketing classes. And so it really plays to the small church, because you can show who you are, and you don't have to have that macro view, you know, a picture of a giant room of people, or reporting on a huge event, or even the great video. All those are wonderful tools. It's much, much more powerful to show a couple of faces, show an intimate part of your life, show who the pastor is and what he does, or a volunteer, than it is to show something huge. And so that's why I feel like a small church can have just as much of an advantage as a large church in what they do in communication.
I was talking to your coworker one day, Rick Garrett. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about graphics, I think is the topic we were discussing. And he told me that you guys have some pretty stringent guidelines about your use of your graphics and your logo and things like that, which shocked me, because, I mean, every pastor knows, you know, we've all had the experience of asking someone who's working on the bulletin or the worship guide or the e-newsletter to, you know, can you spice this up a little bit? And so you get the graphic and it doesn't fit exactly right, so you blow it up some. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, it's pixels, like you're trying to hide something dirty in the newsletter, you know? So, so talk a little bit about the consistency in, for lack of a better term, we'll just use the term branding, of your church and the graphics that you use to communicate, whether it's on the, you know, the PowerPoint, or whether it's on the sermon notes, or whether it's on the e-newsletter that goes out during the week. Why is that important to be consistent?
I think quality and consistency are hugely important. Consistency is a way that you can achieve quality. You don't have to look around far these days to see that it's really important what you look like and how people perceive you. And I think that can be different for all types of places. I mean, you can find out what your city loves by paying attention to the places that they love. You can go there. You can go to the stores, the restaurants that are getting buzz in your place, or the place that people hang out. They see what they look like, see what they feel like, see what they smell like, how people interact there. Look at the vibe of their logo and their design. And that could be very different depending on where you live. And so I think the quality is there. The quality is important, but the consistency is how you get to the quality. And by that, I mean, you're probably not a great designer.
I'm not.
You're probably not, and most pastors in America are probably not. But so the good news about that is it's best to keep it simple anyway. We have several campuses. They range in size from the small church, 80 to 90 people, to, you know, over 1,000 people on the weekend. And so for all of those places, we keep it simple. Our bulletin is a black and white list of things. There's no clip art. There's no real graphics to it. Pick two fonts, two simple, clean fonts, and stick with them for everything. Pick up a magazine you like, what it looks like, find out what the fonts are. You can find it with a Google search. probably, and pick those two for your church and use them for everything. One for headlines and one for body copy, that type of thing. And then also it's just, you can do this, all of this on the cheap. Now, if you do need graphics, I mean, there's Fiverr and Design Pickle and 99 Designs that are out there who are ready to resort a small church with some really great, great graphics.
I think the signal faded a little bit, but she said Fiverr, Pickle, and 99 Designs, right?
Yeah, Design Pickle, Fiverr, 99 Designs. Okay. It doesn't take much of a Google to find places that are willing to create you some graphics, for great graphics for really inexpensive.
You know, it's funny that that we talk about it, but if you see a McDonald's sign, it doesn't have to say McDonald's or, you know, 100 bazillion right. sold. If you've got the golden mm-hmm. arches, you know what it is. You know, right. Walmart, if they rearranged the letters, you'd still know it was a Walmart sign. And Walmart's about as simple as you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that pastors really always consider that if there's, if you're the pastor of First Baptist Church of my city, mm-hmm. and you spend, you know, a couple of $100 or $100, or you know somebody that's really talented and they just love you and they're going to do it for free, mm-hmm. that when that logo, that consistent logo shows up on your Facebook page, on your website, on any printed copy that you hand out, you know, at the end of a 5K in town or anything like that, as that logo becomes identified with your church, people begin to associate the image, not the words, not the preaching, not anything else. They begin to associate that image with First Baptist Church of my city, and they will then decide, this is content that I need to at least pay attention to.
Right.
And I think pastors lose the potential that a good brand, for lack of a better word, or a good logo brings in communicating outside of the building. It's more than just what goes on the corner of the bulletin.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Your presence can start to tell people who you are, and that they should be interested before they would ever, maybe months before they would ever step in your church door. We have a simple logo. It's a little square cross made of dots. It's orange. That's our color. So, and we put that in our website on every single thing that we
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. And what's your website, Grace Church?
No, it's discovergrace.com.
Discovergrace.com. Okay. So if you're listening and you want to see some examples of what Kelly's talking about, you can go to discovergrace.com. Just gives you an idea of how they think about graphics online and communicating, and a lot of the stuff they use in printed material as well. What are some good guidelines for announcements or communicating events? As a pastor, the announcement time is not my favorite time. Now, we share at my church, so our lead pastor will do it sometimes. I'll do it sometimes. Another pastor will do it sometimes. So no one is doing all of the announcements, but I don't know a single pastor who doesn't wish that everybody would just read the bulletin, you know?
Oh, well, I don't know a single communications director that doesn't wish that either. But no, announcements are kind of a necessary evil. I mean, it doesn't matter how big you get, you're constantly thinking through ways to do them better. And yeah. I mean, we've had Sundays that we don't do them because we think the value of not doing them is greater than the value of doing them.
Right, right.
But I just say a couple things about announcements. First of all, back to communicating as caring for people. I think all announcements should come with a why or a story. Mm-hmm. It makes them interesting. It makes them care for people. It makes them makes people care about them and know that you care about them and what that you're doing for them and that you want them to be involved in and how you want them to grow. So always, always a why. And then definitely, if you can, a story of somebody who's either participated in this event before or whose life was changed by us doing this service project or something like that. The more
right.
you can do that, the better. And then as soon as you can, I mean, you just want to move to a policy where you funnel those things by audience. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, at Grace, we give announcements that have to do with the whole church or all men or all women, basically.
Okay.
We don't, smaller niche ministries, even students and kids, they have their own focus communications They're getting emails from their leaders. Depending on how small the ministry is, they can even get phone calls from their leaders, text messages from their leaders. And so we, to care for people, again, as most people in the church maybe don't have students or some don't have kids or things like that, we focus announcements on something that they will, everybody in the room will really care about.
Okay. This is, we didn't discuss this question, but it popped in my mind. So, okay. Does Grace triage communication type? Does an email represent one level of communication? Does a mass of urgency, does a mass email communicate a different level of urgency? Does a text message communicate a different level of urgency? We kind of function with, this is very unofficial, but we kind of think around our church that if we text each other, then that's almost like you need to respond, kind of quick, because we're not waiting around on this. Whereas an email might be, hey, when you check your emails, take some time to respond. If it's a church-wide email, then it's like, okay, when I get home, when I've taken a nap, then... So do y'all triage anything like that, or is it all kind of by feel?
We absolutely do. I kind of have a system. After a while it sort of gets intuitive, like what you do, but I see attention and as capital. I don't want to waste it because I don't have that much of it. So you're right. We have, for instance, we have push notifications on our app. I hardly ever use those. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to ignore them eventually.
Right.
I want to use them for huge events like Easter or a fall kickoff or Christmas Eve. Those are the things that I'll use something like that for. I'm not just constantly pushing them through. You're right. Email is someplace that you can, send out a whole listing of events that you have or direct people to a calendar. It's not quite as urgent. We use announcements for only a certain amount of content that we push in the church.
Okay. So
we don't need that attention.
When you come to your bulletin and worship guide, you mentioned earlier that it's basically black and white, no graphics, certainly no clip art. Header graphics, certainly, but not interspersed throughout the text. General rules of thumb for, do you use your bulletin or worship guide for like the immediate stuff? Do you have a section that's like, this is what you need to do today, this is what you need to do this week, this is what you can pray over for a while? is there a place that's consistent that they know, I need to make a decision about this before I leave today? Or is it by date? How do you work that on your worship guide or your bulletin?
We just simply work it by date.
Okay.
It is a list. It has a bold heading for each event, and they're in chronological order.
Okay.
So the quickest thing coming up is at the top. We do separate, we call them the guide, and it's separate for every campus. Mm-hmm. So this is the one piece that when we hand it to you, it's the one piece we're delivering that has all of the events that are coming up right now. And because we don't do graphics and we don't clutter it up with a lot of stuff, we have space to list, it can be in the summer, it can be lower, three or four events, and the fall, it can be 10 to 12 events even that are coming up ahead. But because we do it simply, it's easily accessible, it's in order. And this is the one piece where we're kind of giving you everything.
Gotcha. All right. Talk to the pastor who's the person who is doing the communication. So, in some churches, this is even the person who puts together the bulletin. I did that in my first church. I put together the bulletin, I printed the bulletin, I folded the bulletin, and then I made the announcements that were in the bulletin. And so that may still be the case for some, or there may be some, mixture of people involved, but there's going to be one person that's kind of driving that information flow. How do you start making it work right?
I think that you have to ruthlessly edit yourself is the first thing. I think that you have to be simple about everything that you do. If you're only one person doing it, there's only so much you can do, and you shouldn't feel guilty about that. If you can only handle one social media network, then only do that. Go where your people are. If you can only handle a half of sheet of black and white, these are the events that are coming up, that's what you should do. I think The next step of that, though, is to think about, again, communication as an extension of the teaching ministry, which is equipping the saints. And I think this is easier than ever in our culture. I think that we give them something that's shareable online. We start to help other people do our work for us. you can give them an easy piece, like make the bulletin attractive and something that they might want to hand to their neighbor. Mm-hmm. Can do it old school. We just implemented a postcard station in our church. Now, we've designed and printed our own postcards. Mm-hmm. We have them at a station in our foyer, and we say, you write it and we'll mail it. So we have people who come in every week and they pick up a card that says, we missed you, and they write it to one of their friends and they pop it in a mailbox and we stamp it and send it off, or one that, I'm sorry you're sick, I hope you feel better.
Right.
So we're giving them tools to do it. So the more that you can start giving people tools that they want to use, that's the better. And you can do that by being simple, simple, simple.
That is excellent. You've been listening to Pastor Talk. I'm your host, Marty Duran. My guest today has been Kelly Adkins, the Communications Director at Grace Church in Orlando. Kelly, thanks so much for being here, and I look forward to probably having you again in the future to take a deeper dive into some of these subjects.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
Pastor Talk is the podcast of Lifeway Pastors and is hosted by Marty Duran. That's me. Join us each week as I interview pastors, authors, professors, and others to help your ministry as you seek to shepherd your flock well. Until next time, this is Marty Duran.